Good evening, everyone. As promised, we're going to sum up 2 Timothy tonight. So if you'd like to turn into your Bibles, 2 Timothy 4, and we're going to read from 6 to 8. So as promised, we're going to go through what I've been speaking about with 2 Timothy for the last few weeks on a Sunday night. We started off with who was Timothy, who was Paul. We learned that Paul was probably writing his last letter just before he knew he was going to die. And this becomes quite obvious in this passage. So I'll read from verse 6. "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to also to all who have longed for his appearing." So Paul's saying to Timothy here, he knows his time's near. And he knows his time's near because he's fought the good fight. He's finished the race and he's kept the faith. We've sung a lot of songs tonight that have been about promises, faithfulness, God's faith. And if we read in 2 Timothy 2 from verse 11, "If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. God is faithful to the end." So I've sort of split this into three. It's the three F's. The good fight, finished the race, and kept the faith. So fight. We read in 1 Timothy 1 verse 18. Paul's saying to Timothy in his first letter, "This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight." That's a commission for us as well. That's not just for Timothy, that's for us. We need to fight that good fight. 1 Timothy 6:12, another reference to Timothy again. "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Fight the good fight of faith. Not only fight, but he's brought in faith as well there. And 2 Timothy 2:3, again, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." We're called to be warriors for Christ. Warriors go to war. We fight. We fight the enemy. That is what we're there to do. Fight that good fight. Briefly, I'll go on to finish the race. 1 Corinthians 9:24. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win." Our call is to run that race as if it's our prize. And that there is a prize, and it's freely given. It's not a prize that we earn. It's that crown of righteousness that Paul says he's looking forward to on that day. Acts 20:24. "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and to complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." So if you remember last week, I spoke about preach the word. The task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. We've got to preach the word. Most of you will know this one. Hebrews 12:1-2. "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us not lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Again, it mentions faith. So he's running the race and he's bringing in faith again. So the three things are going hand in hand constantly. Faith, like I've just said, came in 1 Timothy 6:12 and it's come in Hebrews 12. And as I said on the second time I spoke, do not be ashamed. We're told not to be ashamed. Second Timothy 1:13-14. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Again, faith. Faith and love in Jesus Christ. And 2 Timothy 3:10. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, and sufferings. Again, faith is smack in the middle. But remember, there's endurance, persecutions, and suffering. So right from the beginning, Paul said to Timothy not to be timid. He said to him not to be ashamed. We've been given a spirit of power, love, and discipline. We can stand up for God. God is there. He's by our side constantly. Again, it's come around again. Suffering for the gospel. We know what Paul went through in his life. He knows he suffered for the gospel, but he knows that he spoke the truth. He's fought the good fight. He's finished the race. And if you remember, I went through three different characters: the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer. Soldier, fighting. Athlete, running a race. Farmer, where does that fit in? Farmer plants seed. Farmer's got the faith that that seed's going to grow. And each of them has to train and learn their trade. We're all asked or commanded to be a soldier. We're a warrior for Christ. We've got to train. And training don't come easy. You've got to be disciplined in your training. If you're not disciplined in your training fails. I know this is an example of a friend who I used to work with in the fire service. He joined as a part-time soldier in the paras, and he was desperate to be in the SAS as the next step. And he tried and he failed and he tried and he failed and he tried and he failed, but he kept persevering. I've left the fire service now. I don't know where he's at. I do know that he's still a para. Whether he's got to that next step, I'm not sure. And I know one of his fears was height, and I know he's jumped out of an aeroplane now. It's that sort of training. Your athlete, your endurance athletes, they have to push themselves to the limits. I know this just from training for a marathon. When I was 18, part of the rugby club, to raise money for funds, we entered as a club for the Bradford Marathon. Being an 18-year-old, I thought, I'm fit. I don't need to train that much. And I didn't. But I must have been reasonably fit because I was the first to finish out of the rugby club, so that wasn't too bad. But then I did it again 5 years ago. And to get to the stage where I knew I could run a marathon, I had to train until I'd run a marathon. And I knew I had to get to that spot before I could actually go and run a marathon. And it was hard work. And there was a lot of blood and a lot of tears. I had to get Carol to pick me up one day. We live in Honley. I don't know if you know Honley at all, but it's a steep incline from the main road that goes to Home Firth. And we lived at the top of the village. And I'd done a run from work, which is at Cleckheaton, and I'd done quite a long run. and I'd not prepared myself fully for that run. I had blood stains on my vest. I could hardly walk, and I rang Carol, come and get me. But it didn't put me off. I persevered. And the weekend that I ran the marathon, I also helped in a cycle relay to Amsterdam, which is where we ran the marathon. We cycled, a dozen of us, from Cleckheaton Fire Station down to France, up through Belgium, Holland, all the way to Amsterdam, and then run a marathon the next morning. So I know what it's like for endurance. I'm not saying that you have to go through that to get to where God wants you, but God wants you to train. He wants you to read his word. He wants you to perfect his word, to know it, so that you can encourage others, so that they will be faithful to God, be able to keep the faith, and know God will always be faithful to them. So, as we said over the last couple of weeks, we talked about God's word, that it was inspired by God, the Bible. All scripture is God-breathed. And because of that, we can go out confidently and preach the word of God, and knowing that it is God that's behind it. It's not just something that we've made up. We know it's the truth. We can go out, we can speak to people, we can encourage people. And then we've got a life that's complete. Our life is not complete until it's time to go home to Jesus. And Paul knew that. He'd worked right from a very young age. He just didn't know where God was taking him until he had that encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. He learned his scriptures. He was, if I remember right, he was a Pharisee. And you don't get to be a Pharisee without knowing your scriptures. But then when Jesus revealed himself, just like Jesus can reveal himself to any one of us, and I know most sat here, he's already done so, we've got that life that we can share with others so that they may have that eternal life, that they may have that crown of righteousness. And that's the letter of 2 Timothy. I thought we were going to speak for much, much longer than this. But Paul is saying to Timothy, this is what is expected. This is what we do. We know the scriptures. He knew Timothy from a... Or he knew of Timothy. He knew Timothy had learnt the scriptures from a very young age. He knew his grandmother. He knew his mother. He spent time with him in mission. He knew the character of Timothy. He knew that Timothy could do what God was asking him to do. And God's faithful to each and every one of us in that task. Everything that we've got, the plans that God has got for each and every one of us, the Holy Spirit is there in us, around us, with us. He gives us that strength. He gives us that boldness to go out and complete the race. And we've not completed that race until it's time to die. So no matter how young you are, how old you are, if you're still breathing, you've still got work to do. So, 2 Timothy, I hope you've enjoyed. I certainly have. It's given me more of an insight as to who Jesus is, what I'm expected to do, what I need to do here in Sobeybridge within this church. I need to be there not just for the whole family, my direct family, everybody. It's being there and just being obedient to God. And I hope that I can continue to bless. I'm still breathing. I'm still alive. Amen.